means that I'm one day closer to you. Oh, honey, you.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This is our Country Western series, and our very special guest today is Rudy Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers. They are a Grammy award-winning trio who have dazzled audiences for more than 60 years. They played for five of the last eight presidents. I happen to have seen them at the Houston Rodeo in 1983, and it's great to have you on. Welcome, Rudy.
Well, thank you. How about that?
It's amazing. It is something. We saw you in the 1980s at the Houston Rodeo, and I'm sitting there going, 60 freaking years? You can't be that. What did you play when you were 1 year old in Abilene?
Two and a half.
That's amazing.
2, 4, 6. Yeah, 2, 4, 6.
Well, it's just a tribute to your great longevity and you guys sticking together. What do you think is the secret to your sauce? What is it?
We need the
so
money.
Successful?
We need the money. Well, hey, I mean, I got to eat too. And, the money's been fine, been good and all that. But, we just love doing what we do and we're very fortunate. Everybody'd love to be doing what we're doing. It's amazing. Everybody. There's not a person on the face of the earth that wouldn't like to be on stage singing hit songs and the crowd throwing babies in the air. You know, I'm paying you a lot of money. I don't want to play baseball. I don't want to play football. I did. We were athletes and all that. And we wanted to play football and baseball and all that, but I never really thought about playing a professional. And there are guys that, you know, Michael Jordan always wanted to play basketball. Troy Aikman always wanted to play football. But every one of them, when they're through with that, they want to do this. If they had their druthers, as we say in West Texas, I'd druther be doing what we do. But I'm glad we're very blessed to be doing what we do and have done it for all these years.
Indeed you are. Hey, you had some great relationships with some fabulous people and heroes of our lifetime. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with the late, great Jimmy Dean.
Well, Larry went to sing with the Imperials Quartet, and they were backing up Jimmy Dean, Dottie West show in Vegas, and that's where he met Dottie, and she heard him writing some songs, and you write songs? He said, yep. She said, send me some. He went back to Houston and put them on a reel-to-reel and sent them to her, and she sent him a plane ticket. Got him in Nashville, and he moved a couple of months later, and Jimmy Dean was always a great friend, great mentor, great entertainer that we learned so much about. Real good friend of Brother Larry and all of us, but gosh, what a great guy.
Indeed, he was really a great guy. And, you know, there's lots of other people along the way, but I wanted to ask you about your origin, because I know you guys started singing gospel, and I'm pretty good friends with Gloria Gaither and Bill, and I just want you to tell our listening audience, why is gospel singing still a part of your roots, and why is it so important to you personally?
Well, it's the Statesman and Blackwood Brothers where we all got our first taste of Southern style gospel quartet singing. You know, the Weatherford Quartet, and then the list goes on and on about those Southern style gospel quartets. Bill had a quartet, and now he's got five in there, but he's had a trio, he's had quartets. You know, they come and go through the years, but those Statesman Blackwood Brothers were our heroes. It's still our first love. We just grew up listening to that music. Took the records home after we saw them at a concert, bought the records, went home, put them on the hi-fi, and learned them. You know, Mom hopped on the piano, and we just grabbed a part and took off, you know, and God said, y'all sing. So that's what we did.
Yeah. Well, they have made their mark on so many people, and it's fun to hear about that today as well, because it's a lasting impression that they made on young singers like you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's without a doubt. And everybody in gospel music that's our age and been around for a while. And I'm glad Bill took that idea that I had about 30 years ago, never got around to doing it. My idea was just to get all those guys around a piano and just make a recording, just sing. That was before videos.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, before MTV, before in the late 70s, early 80s. I said, we ought to get these guys in the studio and just around a piano and just sing. And never had the time to do it, and Bill did, so glad he did.
You bet. Hey, Rudy, on our network here, we talk about enduring success, and you probably have already hinted to this, but we have so many people that are in family business together, and they don't last. Because they either are contentious with their brothers and sisters, or whatever the reason, there's got to be something, some advice that you can provide our listening audience today who are in family businesses about, number one, lessons that you've learned and how important it is to get along to keep the business rolling.
Well, yeah, you have to do that, and you have to work things out and go on. It's not going to be a lot of times exactly the way you want it, but you compromise. And if we've ever had any major dispute where somebody had to make the final decision, that was always going to be Larry, the oldest, the lead singer, that writes a song, so forth and so on. So we always, you know, we usually got things worked out, the three of us, and then we were all three in disagreement or two against one. We did that, which that's happened very few times that we've had to come down to where he might have made a decision that the other two disagreed with. And so we got it worked out and just go on. Plus, the bottom deal is we need the money.
Mm-hmm.
When you need to eat, mm-hmm. when you need money to eat, you get a lot of it, go on. Plus, you know, seriously, a lot of people didn't really have they might have had the success, or they might not have. See, if you have problems with your family and you're not having a lot of success, you say, heck with this. I ain't going to do this anymore. But if you're having some success, you think, well, this is pretty good, and this is going to get better. We need to get this stuff worked out, because if we don't, I got to go back to teaching school. Nothing wrong with teaching school. I got to go back to being a coach. Nothing wrong with being a coach or a banker or an insurance salesman. But God Almighty, you got the chance to cut hit records and be on Johnny Carson and sing sold out concerts all over the country. And you're going to have a few squabbles. You're going to walk away from that. No, you're going to try to get that worked out. And that's what we did, because we knew we had a higher calling, and we, you know, had squabbles all along, but we get them worked out. We've got them worked out through the years.
And for those young musicians that are out there, tell them what a higher calling means.
Almighty God just said, y'all sing. I can do a bunch of other stuff. I mean, I can play golf. I can shoot a basketball, throw a football. Could have ended up doing any number of things, because we're hard workers from West Texas. Our dad instilled in us the work ethic. So I could have been in the oil field. We could have ended up doing any number of things. But we always knew from an early age, not that we were special, but we were special in that there weren't a whole lot of kids doing what we were doing, you know, and most of them were on the West Coast, the Osmonds, the Lennon Sisters, the Cal Seals, all those family groups. They weren't in Odessa, Texas. You know, I was jealous as heck of them, you know. There weren't a whole lot of folks doing what we were doing. And even in the state of Texas, there were some other family groups, but we just had a sound then we started cutting hit records, had the sound and the songs and all, and there weren't just a whole lot of folks doing it exactly like we were doing it. So we kind of felt like it's a special calling and that we were put here to do this, you know. I think.
And you listened and you paid attention.
Tried to. Sometimes it didn't look like I was. And some people say, why don't you pay attention and quit acting the fool? But, you know. It's called life. You don't do it.
There you go.
And they say, gosh, would you change anything in your life? And what do most people say? No, wouldn't change a thing. Really? Oh, man, I would. I'd a lot of damn things I'd change. The list is too long a list. But I'd change a lot of things. Do things
That's
differently.
Right.
But,
That's-
you know, I think I said
I've
a bad word.
I've got two more questions for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's a normal word. There's two more questions I've got for you, and it kind of comes out of playing with bands for 50 years. And the first one is this: you know, everybody's got their favorite instrument, and I know you play acoustic guitar. I want to know what happened to the first acoustic guitar that you had. You still have it, and what brand was it?
The first guitar was a K, $17 K guitar that my mother bought me from Arlington Music Store in Arlington, Texas. And then I don't know what happened to that one, but it wasn't, you know, $17 guitar even back then wasn't much of a guitar. My first guitar that I bought was a $50 12 string Stella Harmony. Now, I wish I had that guitar back. I do. It's a great, good little guitar. And those were my first two. Then the next one, I guess I bought a Yamaha FG300. It got stolen. That was a good guitar. That was a good guitar. I think I might have traded the 12 string in and came up with a couple hundred bucks to get that Yamaha. Then that took me to the mid 70s and we started having hit records. And Alvarez Guitars started giving us guitars, and Ovation gave us guitars, and just guitars came out of the woodwork. You know, everybody wants you to play the guitar. So I probably had 20 or 30, which isn't very much, many, but I've got a handful now. And I give them away. No, I'm not giving any more away because I'm down to the really ones I want to keep. Sorry, I'm out of free guitars.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for that insightful story. All right, Rudy, final thing is I want you to address America right now about pulling themselves up by the bootstraps and getting on with life post-COVID-19.
Well, we're having to all hang in there, and I hate to see all the discourse that's going on in the country. And it seems like every day almost it gets a little worse. And I'm going, well, it's going to end soon. And I don't know how it's going to end. I've got a good idea, but we are going to get back to law and order. And I don't know why it's gotten, well, people are uninformed. They're just really uninformed, and they just think that this is what they see or hear. They don't really look at the facts. And when you look at the facts, you'd have a different opinion, I think. And maybe you wouldn't want to, you know, I've had different opinions about things through the years that, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, okay. Well, that makes it. And I hope that's what's sad. If when faced with the truth and the facts, they still go, well, I don't care. I'm going to do this. Well, you're going to do it so long. And then, you know, John Law is going to come down on you because we are going to have to restore law and order, or we are in for anarchy. And we don't really need that. We don't really need anarchy on the streets. People don't understand this isn't the way we see. They see other countries overthrow their dictators by rioting and all that stuff over there. We've seen Saudi Arabia and Iraq and all different places or wherever. And they think that's the way we do it over here. That isn't the way we do it over here. The way we do it is go to the election, November 3rd. That's how you change stuff. We elect. And we Democratic Republic, and that's the way we do things, not riot and burn and tear things down and take over. No, they ain't going to work. No, ain't going to work. And if elected, I'll serve. That's it.
I appreciate your insight, Rudy. You know, you're welcome back here anytime. Thanks for being on our Success Made Last show, and congratulations on the great longevity of the career with you and your brothers.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. God bless.
And thanks again for listening to our Country Western series today featuring the one and only Rudy Gatlin. We hope that you enjoyed this show. And as we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. And all the gold.